Like to call to order the July 23rd, 2020 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will sign in and witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are final. Challenges to these decisions of the Board of Appeals may be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you will, at this time, please stand. We're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance and open with prayer. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Y'all pray with me. Father, we just give you thanks for this day to be here together, to be part of running the business of this city. Lord, we ask for your presence here today. And we ask you, Lord, that there be just fair decisions and guide us in everything that we do here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. There are no proclamations, notices, or acknowledgments that I know of. Items to be removed from the final agenda, 2819 and 2829 through 2837 Bull Street. The height variance has been requested to be removed.
Yes, that item was requested by the petitioner to be removed from this agenda and has been continued to the August meeting.
Okay, is there a motion to remove this item from the agenda? All right, Ms. Michael Brown has made a motion. Is there a second? Second by Michael Condon. Are we going to do a voice vote? Okay. As I call your name, tell me how you're voting. Michael Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
And Mr. Condon?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes unanimously. Yes.
Hello? Noble Boykin?
Mr. Hall?
Yes, I vote yes.
Okay, Mr. Hall votes yes then. All right, the motion passes unanimously. Approval of the minutes from the May 28th, 2020 meeting. The minutes are included on the packet. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from that meeting? Michael Condon makes a motion to approve the minutes from the May 28th meeting. Is there a second to the motion?
Second by Hunter.
Well, I heard Mr. Griffith first, so second by Trapper Griffith. All those in favor, when I call your name, say whether you're in favor or against. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the minutes are approved. Could you scroll up for us, please, Marcus? All right, regular agenda. First item on the regular agenda is 128 East 52nd Street. They're looking for a variance. This is number 20-002940-ZBA.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At this time, I'm going to review the request for 128 52nd Street. I just want to remind the board members, both present, when we get into discussion, please just turn your microphone on. And for the board members who are virtual, please unmute yourself when you need to speak. Thank you. For this item, the petitioner is requesting approval of a 7-foot front yard setback variance from the 20-foot requirement. The property is located at 128 East 52nd Street. And this request is related to the construction of a proposed porch on an existing single family residence. This is a map of the subject property. As I mentioned, on East 52nd Street on the north side between Habersham Street and Abercorn. It's within an RSF 6 single family residential zoning classification. The property is 45 feet in width and 100 feet deep. This classification requires a minimum lot width of 50 feet. So the property is legally non-conforming relative to lot width. However, there is not an uncommon lot size in this neighborhood. Nearby properties in the neighborhood, especially within the block face, have a common lot width of 45 feet. This is a photograph of the residence on the right-hand side here as it exists today. The petitioner is proposing to build a covered but unenclosed porch on the residence. This residence was originally constructed in 1926. It includes an existing 5x8 raised stoop covered by an awning. As designed, the porch is proposed to be 7 feet deep and 25 feet in length. And I'll show you some sketches of the property here in just a second, of the proposed porch, I should say. The required building setback within the RSF6 zoning classification is 20 feet, and the proposed porch would encroach 7 feet into the setback. This is a sketch provided by the petitioner that shows the area of the proposed porch located here. You can see it around the existing raised slab. This is an elevation that the petitioner provided showing what they're proposing. The development pattern in the neighborhood includes a variety of porch styles, and the proposed porch is not an uncommon design. It does not appear that that proposed encroachment would have any negative impacts on adjacent properties. Per Article 3, the Zoning Board of Appeals can consider a variance in this case based on the review criteria related to consistency of development pattern and the variance criteria. Staff is recommending approval of the proposed encroachment for 128 East 52nd Street, and I'll be happy to answer any questions. We also have the petitioner on the line who's available for comment and question as well.
Is this 52nd Street, is that in any landmark district, or not the landmark district, but in any historic district?
This portion is not within a historic district, no, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Yeah, at this time, is there any public comment?
May want to have the petitioner go.
I'm skipping. Yeah.
His name is Mr. Cole. He's on the line, I believe.
Mr. Cole, would you like to say anything?
No, I think you pretty much covered everything. It's just want to add a porch in the front. A lot of the houses in the neighborhood do have porches, so I don't think it's outstanding.
Okay. At this time, is there any public comment?
If members of the public, can they hear me? If members of the public wish to speak on this item, please use the raise your hand feature on the webinar and we can recognize you.
Okay, so there's no public comment. Is there any more questions from the board to either the petitioner or to staff? Any discussion? Well, if not, the chair will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the request by Mr. Hall.
Okay, Hunter Hall has made a motion to approve the request for a variance. Is there a second to the motion? Seconded by Michael Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, then I'm going to go down the list, and as I call your name, please vote. Michael Brown? Mr. Griffith? Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Okay, then the motion is approved unanimously and the variance is granted. Let's see, we'll move on to the next item.
One question, please.
Did you?
So, will we get this in writing?
But,
a vote for you.
The chair is not going to vote unless it's necessary. I know that that's not been the case in the past, but typically, according to Robert's rules, the chair usually, while I can vote if I want to, I don't have to vote unless it's a tie.
Understood.
And all right, number 312 East 38th Street.
Question from.
Well, the questions from the petitioner is over because we've already voted.
Right.
Yeah.
I think maybe he was trying to understand if he was done here.
I think he wants to get it in writing and
we'll provide that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
312 East 38th. This is 20-002792 ZBA. This is appeal from the MPC decision.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a item that has been filed by a petitioner who came before the Planning Commission regarding a demolition of a building, and that request was denied by the Planning Commission, and he's appealing that decision. On May 19th, the MPC denied a request by the petitioner to be granted a permit to demolish a contributing building located at 312 East 38th Street. This decision upheld the recommendation of the preservation officer, which was based on the findings in the attached report. The MPC found that the petition did not meet the criteria established to demolish a contributing building due to the lack of sufficient evidence in the engineering report and property appraisal provided, and because the court order provided to staff had expired. Just a little bit of background on this circumstance. The applicant filed for demolition of the residence at the subject property on October 8th, 2019. This request is required because the structure at that address is identified on the Mid-City Historic District Contributing Resources Map. Identified structures are required to meet certain criteria prior to being demolished. On January 14th, 2020, the MPC board made the decision to continue the request for the demolition that had been presented to allow the petitioner to provide staff with a detailed engineering report and a property appraisal of the existing property. On January 22nd, staff received an updated engineering report. However, staff did not receive a property appraisal for the property. On March 11th, staff received a court order for demolition issued by Recorder's Court of Chatham County for the property at the address. The court order stated that the application for demolition and the obtaining of a permit for demolition should be accomplished within 60 days of the date of the order. The court order received by staff on March 11th that was issued to the applicant on February 5th has expired. The allowed 60 days for demolitions lapsed without any known extension of time having been granted. Therefore, the demolition order has expired and the demolition request will be reviewed without taking the court order into consideration. So the applicant brought forth the request to the Planning Commission and with a recommendation from staff that the demolition not be granted. I want to talk a little bit about the appeal procedure because it's something that we don't see this body as often. The zoning board in this case is required to make a determination not regarding the action that was requested of the petitioner to the Planning Commission, but as to the Planning Commission's action on the item. In other words, it's this board's purview to make a determination whether or not the MPC made any errors in the way that they determined their decision. In the appeal procedures in the zoning ordinance 3.23.1, it states that when it is alleged that there is an error in a final written decision of any administrator, commission, or board authorized to make a final written decision with regards to the provisions of this ordinance, an appeal by any aggrieved party may be taken to the Zoning Board of Appeals. I'm gonna bring that up for you so you can have a look at the section. In addition, relative to actions by the Zoning Board of Appeals, the Zoning Board of Appeals shall determine whether the first decision maker, in this case, the Metropolitan Planning Commission, erred in the application or interpretation of the ordinance. The Zoning Board of Appeals may reverse or affirm wholly or in part, or may modify the final written decision appealed and shall make a final written decision that is in the opinion, that in its opinion ought to be made in the case before it unless otherwise specified by this ordinance. To this end, the Zoning Board of Appeals shall have all the powers of the administrative official, commission, or board from whom the appeal is taken. A motion to reverse, affirm, or modify the final written decision appealed shall include a statement of the specific reasons, including the proposed findings of fact that support the decision. The findings of fact shall be based on the same evidence received by the first decision maker. If a motion to reverse or modify is not made, or such motion fails to receive the affirmative vote of a majority of the members present, then the appeal shall be denied. The appellant shall have the burden of proof. Relative to the initial MPC decision on this property, it was based on the criteria for demolition. These findings were provided by staff in a public hearing, and the commission found that the criteria had not been met. In addition, the lapsed court order could not be used as justification for action by the commission, as it was determined to be expired. The Planning Commission acted within its authority and with proper procedure to make a decision on the subject matter. Per section 3.2.36A, the ZBA is not to determine the validity of the demolition request, but instead whether the MPC erred on the application or interpretation of the zoning ordinance. There is some additional information that was provided by the petitioner, Exhibit A, which is on your at your stations, provided to the board. And I want to also mention that I can have Ryan Charles, who is with the Historic Preservation Commission, come in to answer questions. And I believe we also have the Historic Preservation Officer on the line who can answer questions related to the specifics of the demolition request, should they come up. And I'll be happy to take any questions at this time.
Go ahead, Mr. Michael. The chair recognizes Michael Brown.
So this is an MPC. Is there an MPC requirement for demolition to have an independent structural engineer report?
A engineering report is part of the requirement for demolition. That was the reason the initial hearing was postponed, so that the petitioner could provide that.
Did he provide it?
A report was provided, yes.
And the report, was it negative or positive for demolition?
The report suggested that the building was unsafe.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Mr. Condon?
Marcus, can you turn your microphone on, please? The process
for demolition of these historic structures is to apply to the MPC for permission. If it's not granted, then the petitioner goes to the court and the court can overrule the MPC?
The court can make a determination regarding the safety of a building, and if they determine that it needs to be taken down, they can overrule the MPC. In this case, an order was given by the court to the applicant. The reason the MPC did not act on the order, because it was their determination that it had expired.
Okay. Under normal circumstances, if it had not expired, can the MPC appeal the decision of the court?
I have not seen examples of the MPC appealing the court's decision.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? I've got one. Obviously, you've read this Exhibit A, Marcus. What are your thoughts about this Georgia judicial emergency order dated February the 5th, 2020? It says here that under that order, all legal deadlines in the state of Georgia were told suspended up through June the 12th. Does that cover this situation?
Yes.
Excuse me, who said yes?
Hello, this is Melanie Wilson, the executive director for the MPC. Just very quickly, and I think that you may want to also hear from the historic preservation director before making a final determination on this case. This one was very complicated with regards to why the courts made their determination in the first place. In this case, the applicant was allowed to very quickly write something up and give to the courts. And it was right in the middle when they got their initial approval, when there was just a lot of stuff going on with COVID-19. But I do think that you should hear from the director before you make your final determination, and that they have been involved with the applicant, as well as with the representatives from the Historic Savannah Foundation. So this case is a lot more complicated than what it might look like on the surface. And so please, if I may request that you hear from the staff. Thank you.
This is Noble Boykin, the applicant. Is there time for me to speak?
No, sir. Mr. Boykin, we'll recognize you in just a minute.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that.
So then, Marcus, if I'm right, Ms. Wilson, she wants us to, who is it that she wants us to hear from besides Joe?
Leah Mahalik, the Historic Preservation Officer.
Okay. Is Leah present?
I think she's on the, is she on the?
Leah, are you there?
If she's not there, then Ryan Jones.
Oh, we can't hear. Leah, if you're on the call, we can't hear you in the building. It appears you are unmuted, but we cannot hear you. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask Ryan Jaws to come in and make some comments regarding the preservation issue.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Ryan Jaws. I'm cultural resources planner for the MPC. It's my belief that the decision was made by the MPC. So, one reason, again, was due to the lack of the information that was requested of them. And then the second being that the demolition request had been expired and the applicant at that time did not provide the MPC with information regarding that extended order. So they made their decision based on what was provided to them within their application that they received and not based on any other information outside of that, because they had not received that information.
Ryan, are you saying that the MPC was not aware of the Supreme Court of Georgia's judicial emergency order of February the 5th, 2020?
That information was not provided by the applicant for that particular application.
But it wouldn't just affect this applicant. It would affect all of a lot of things that y'all deal with. It would seem that you might would be aware of this.
It would, correct, yes.
And maybe even, in my opinion, that you should have been aware of it, since it greatly affects probably a majority of what goes on in the MPC office.
Oh, and Leah did just say she's able to get on now, I guess, as well. Sorry.
I think that you should hear from the director on that one. We were, at least I know that I knew about the Supreme Court decision, but here, if you can hear from the director, and then we can talk more about it after you hear from them, if you would like. Thank you.
Very well. Leah, are you there? No, Leah. Michael Condon, do you have a question for staff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Am I correct in my thought that really the situation is that they had not, the applicant had not filed a complete application, and as such, you cannot do anything but not go forward? I mean, in other words,
hold on, Mr. Condon is asking a question.
So, in other words, you had asked the applicant to provide you with an engineering report and an appraisal. The applicant provided you with an engineering report, but not an appraisal. So, how are you supposed to make a decision if the applicant does not provide you with all the requested information?
That's exactly what I spoke about earlier. One of the main reasons for not approving this was that we had not received that additional information requested by the MPC to make a decision on that.
Mr. Brown?
Based on that information and based on this February 5th ruling, can the applicant reapply for a demolition permit?
I think that's a good question for Leah Mahalik. She is back on now.
Leah, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I apologize for that. I had to switch computers. I don't know why, but one wasn't working. So while I was switching, I don't know if I missed anything, but yes, the application for demolition was incomplete. And so the MPC continued it, but the applicant didn't make any attempt to give us any additional information in that 6 months. So we had the MPC rehear it, and they did deny the demolition, mostly because the application was incomplete. Second, because the court order had expired. I know that it seems like we would be aware of something like that, but to be frank, the preservation commissions do not deal a lot with the law or emergency orders or anything like that. This would have been literally the only case that we were dealing with at the time that might have had something to do with that. And the applicant did not make us aware that the court order had been extended, even though we told them we were recommending denial because the court order had expired. And that's correct. They did not provide an appraisal, and the structural engineering report was essentially two lines that said that it was cost prohibitive to restore the structure, not that it was unsafe. And that's all that it said. It was, you know, just, I don't even know, Marcus, have you happened to have that uploaded or not, but it was a pretty incomplete structural engineering report. So based on all those facts, the MPC denied the request for demolition. I hope that answers all the questions, but I'm happy to answer more.
Okay, just to clarify then, the decision to deny was based, one, on an incomplete application, but also on the fact that, or the perceived fact that you believe that the court order had expired because you weren't aware of, or they weren't aware of the stay by the judge. Is that correct?
Well, plus this, even the structural engineering report did not say that the structure was deteriorating beyond repair. It said it was cost prohibitive, which is not the criteria for allowing demolition of a historic building. Basically, it has to be that it's so structurally unsound that it cannot possibly be repaired. And that's not what that structural engineering report said.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for staff? Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, I've got an issue about the structural engineer issue, and I also have an issue about the Georgia Judicial Emergency Order February 5th, which apparently wasn't figured into the decision. But when you say structurally prohibitive because of construction cost is one thing. But the other is that unsound and not stable is another thing. And the engineer that did this, is this a licensed engineer, or is it somebody that he's just has a friend that's an engineer, or was it done by the city? Who was the engineer?
Kern and Company. John Kern.
John Kern.
Yes.
And he said it wasn't structurally sound, or it just wasn't economically feasible.
If I recall correctly, not economically feasible. It did not say it was structurally unsound.
Okay.
We don't have a copy of that to pull up, do we?
No, I'll see if I can get that before we're done here, Liz.
And Marcus, I know you, could you just reiterate, I think for clarification for the board, because I will be making a motion shortly on this. What parts of this are we to consider, and what parts of this are beyond what we need to be worried about?
Sure, and that's a great point, Mr. Chairman, because what the board is doing today is, well, let me just back up a little bit. The petitioner has appealed because they have, they believe that the MPC made an error in their decision. This board's purview is to determine whether or not the MPC erred in their interpretation of the ordinance or in their decision-making process. Not to consider whether or not everything that was required relative to the demolition was really provided. So whether or not the Planning Commission acted within its authority with proper procedure to make a decision on the matter, and whether they erred in the application or interpretation of the zoning ordinance.
Okay.
But I do want to make one more statement, is that the house is currently occupied.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? All right, hearing none. Would the petitioner like to speak?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. It's Noble Boykin. I bought this property with the hopes of being able to renovate this property. And I have renovated property, and I've done it on quite a few occasions. When I got in it, there was a person living there at the time. He's not there now. It is not occupied right now. And he was telling me how unsound it was. I bought it in foreclosure, so I couldn't go get an evaluation of it to begin with. So in any event, after he started pointing out certain things, and I got a couple of contractors in, and they were just saying, look, they don't even want to send somebody on the roof to get up there because they thought the wall couldn't hold the weight of the people on the roof to fix it. So then in the meantime, the city of Savannah issued a couple of property maintenance violations on the structure of the buildings back in the back and on the far side. There are pictures in there that shows that on the west side, there's no wall. I mean, there is a wall, but there are holes in the wall where it's rotted away, and you can actually just reach through. And there's water going through the second floor. You can't walk in much of it because you'll fall through the floor. So in any event, I asked the city to look at it, and they never sent the city engineer over there. And I asked to have him go over there, but in any event, then I went ahead and got John Kern to look at it. And I don't have any special relationship with John Kern. I know him, professionally, but I don't have any particular relationship with him. So I asked him to go look at it. And he said, obviously this thing is unsound. And he said, it's going to cost you a ton of money, if you renovated it. And then it's going to cost you a whole lot more than it's worth. And it's just unsound. So at that point, I went ahead and applied, had an application for a demolition. But I've got, on one hand, I've got the court, the city of Savannah saying it's got problems, it's got to be remedied. So I went ahead and applied for a demolition permit. They asked for the structural engineer's report, and I gave it to them. And I had an appraisal and gave that to them. Now, the appraisal, the guy who appraised it, he's with an appraisal company here, said he went ahead and appraised the value of the structure and left out the land, because I perceived and he perceived that the question was the structure, not the land. His conclusion was, and it's in the record, was that the property building actually didn't have any value because it was structurally unsound and would need to come down. So anyway, that was what he put in that's what he put in his appraisal. And Ryan Jarles took some issue with it as the MPC. So we had the hearing, and they said, come back with that, with another appraisal. In the meantime, the city of Savannah had written this case up on repairs and structural maintenance of the building. And I had to go to court in the recorder's court. And so I presented them with the structural engineer's report and showed them that appraisal. And Judge Yancey ruled that it was a hazard in the record to life and property, and it needed to come down immediately. So that was his order. And he heard the evidence. Now, we could go back, and talk about whether or not he should have done that or not, but there's an order there. So I took that order over to the MPC within the 60 days, but they were halfway shut down for COVID. There was somebody up front who could take it. So I gave it to them, and I didn't hear anything. And I thought, well, I guess they'll have a hearing at some point and let me know when it is. Nothing happened. And in the meantime, you had this, everything was closed in the government and the judicial emergency. And it did say 60 days, but I took it over to the MPC within the 60 days. I mean, I don't know what I was supposed to do, other than take a crowbar to it myself, other than take that over to the MPC and say, here's this order. And my understanding of the law, and it may be that the board might want to ask their counsel about this, because it's a legal issue, and I am a lawyer, is that the judicial emergency stopped everything. And certainly if it wasn't going to stop, it seems like I would have had notice of a hearing on it. Well, anyway, I did not know anything about any board recommendation for denial. I didn't know a hearing was coming up. I did not put a new appraisal into the record because at that time I didn't have it yet. You know, it takes a little while to get these appraisers because they're busy. But I had time, you know, so that wasn't all I was going to do. I put that in, but in any event, in the meantime, I got that order in. And those orders, the public safety, trump everything else. And a court order is like a very sharp object. If you don't comply with it, you're in contempt. And it directed not only me to do it, but also directed the MPC to basically to order it. Now, they could say, well, we don't like what the judge ruled. Well, that's not the issue. It says, let's see, thank you. It says, disrespect, structural sound, pose a danger, spread a condition to persons on about premises, secondary water damage, areas of collapse and potential collapse. It was supported by finance structural engineer John Kern. And then the judge went on to concur in the assessment by petition, structure is dangerous and unsound. And then I can't see the rest of the order right there, but basically he ordered it and then said that as such the court finds, and that's based on the evidence. Now that's not an engineer, this is the court order, which complies with the MPC as well. And the MPC was on notice of it. This building, 312 East 39, does not structurally sound, constitutes an immediate danger to persons on or about the premises. So, and then it gave me 60 days to do something about it. Well, within those 60 days, I took it over there, even though there was a COVID crisis. And even though there was a judicial emergency, I took it over there and gave it to them. And nothing happened until the MPC decision came in denying it. Well, I didn't know there was a hearing. I didn't know anything about it. It's not that I didn't take anything over there. I just knew that I had taken everything I needed to take. And then when their decision came out, it said that because the 60 days had run, the allowed 60 days for demolition has lapsed without any known extension of time having been granted. Well, there was an extension by the Supreme Court of Georgia. Therefore, the demolition order has not expired. And demolition requests will be reviewed without taking the court order into consideration. Well, that is basically, you can't do that. Under the law, that an order involving an issue involving safety and a court order involving safety trumps it. There's no appeal from that order. It's there. Nobody opposed that order. The judge had evidence, and another body is not allowed to go back and second guess court order. So you either comply with it or you don't comply with it. And then the question is, was it timely or was it not timely? It's clearly timely. When I filed this appeal, I went ahead and put in the Supreme Court's extension. But the law is that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Everybody's bound to know the law on an order issued by the Supreme Court of Georgia. And it specifically says that it extends all time periods in the state, suspends, tolls, extends, and grants relief from any deadline or other time schedule or filing requirements imposed or otherwise applicable statutes, rules, regulations, or court orders. So it's dead within it. So it's my position that there's no question about it. The issue was whether or not it was timely. It was timely. I mean, you can't peel that, but you can't slice that any more finely. It was timely. That's what the law is. And it's my understanding that this board is the place I'm supposed to come to say why I think that court order, why the MPC's order is erroneous, and it's erroneous on its face in ignorance of the law. It's like saying, Judge, officer, I didn't know I couldn't go 55 here in this 35 mile an hour zone. I just didn't know what speed limit was. Well, sorry. That's what that is. In any event, and on top of that, I didn't get notice of hearing. I had another appraisal. I did get another appraisal. It came in after that court order and after I took that court order over there. And when the hearing was going to get rescheduled, I was going to submit it in there. But I thought the Trump order, but I knew that the order trumped on public safety, trumps the MPC decision anyway. So I didn't get all worried about it too much because you got to comply with that court order. And You know, if this board were to say, we don't care whether or not that's right or not, we don't care if it was timely, we're just going to uphold that, then my next point would have to be to file an action for mandamus in the Superior Court to ask them to order the MPC to issue this. And if there's any, and ask for attorney's fees, and if there's any damages, ask for that. I don't want to do that, but it's clearly timely. And that was clearly the basis for it. And I don't believe there's any question about it. So, and going back and trying to relitigate the issue of whether or not there was enough information given to the MPC, I don't think is the issue here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Boykin. At this time, is there any questions for the applicant? Mr. Condon?
Mr. Boykin, how long have you owned the property?
A little over a year. It was in terrible shape when I bought it. I got it as foreclosure, and like I say, I couldn't really inspect it because I got it at a foreclosure. They don't let you in.
Mm-hmm. When you received the demo order from the court, did you proceed to attempt to hire a demolition company?
No. I felt like it was my understanding I still need to go to the MPC and let them know about it. I can't just go over there. I can't just knock it down. If I went over there and had a crew start taking it down, I'd have the city all over me. I'd be cited. That they still have to follow the law. They still have to stamp it and say, okay. Otherwise, I'll just go over there and take it down right now, because really that court order just gave me so much time to try to get a permit to do it. That's what it said, try to get a permit to do it. But that permit is subject to the court's order. So I took it over there and gave them the court's order, and I was waiting for them to direct the city inspections department, the one that issued the permits, to go ahead and give me a permit. And nothing happened. I got no notice of anything else.
Mr. Conan, does that answer your question?
Partly.
Okay.
Have you applied to the recorder's court for an extension?
Yes, sir. And they granted it. Mr. Jarles was there. The court looked at it, said he wasn't happy with it. He said he was going to, just to make it clear to everybody, he's extending it, and he has extended it from 45 days beyond the date the judicial emergency order expired. And it actually extended again to July 12th. It just now expired on July 12th. And he extended it for 45 days beyond that, not to accomplish necessarily demolition, but to get the permits. So, I mean, basically, he's throwing the ball in y'all's court to give a permit. And as I understand it, that's why I was saying you might want to talk to legal counsel. I don't believe y'all have authority to just say we're not going to follow that court order without being at risk of, I mean, my understanding of contempt to his order.
Any other questions for the applicant? Right, hearing none, are there any members of the public that would like to speak on this application? Okay.
Yes,
so Ryan, are you there?
Yes.
Sorry. Ryan, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Ryan Arvey with Historic Savannah Foundation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I know that your purview is strictly limited to procedural matters to ensure that the MPC followed protocol and was within their authority. I have followed this case since January, and everything that I have seen is to the book. I do believe that MPC was within their authority when they made the decision they did based on the details you have heard today. The incomplete application, an engineer's letter, which was extremely thin and did not meet the burden of proof for any historic structure that I've ever worked on, did not meet the MPC criteria. And given the information that the MPC had, we believe that their decision should be upheld. Now, I do also just want to go on record and make a few other points that, though I acknowledge is not within your purview, is worth understanding. The city of Savannah did bring code compliance violations against this property, and many of them were valid. There are some precarious late additions that were added to this historic home. But those additions can be removed without any major impacts to the structure. I have toured the structure inside and out with Mr. Boykin. I have found, given my experience with these types of properties, the property is sound, it is salvageable. The additions can be removed. This is not unusual for historic structures. We have saved, the foundation has saved other buildings in far, far worse shape than this building. We even submitted a letter by our engineer refuting Mr. Kearns's letter and basically establishing the true criteria for these types of situations. And the city, because the city was not seeking demolition in Recorder's Court, simply compliance, I'm not sure how this would work, but the city, we believe, is within their rights to possibly even appeal the judge's most recent decision to extend that judicial order. It's strange to HSF that the appraiser put a value of $0 on the property. The tax assessor's office has an appraised value of $116,000 on this structure. Now, I will tell you that Historic Savannah Foundation, you know, puts its money where its mouth is, and we have offered to purchase this structure formally, officially, from Mr. Boykin. We feel that the offer is fair, given its condition, location, its size. It makes him whole for his investment, adds a small percentage to that to relieve him of any financial burden. There are options with this property. Whether he likes our offer or not, I'm not sure, but it's a far sight better than $0, I can tell you that.
Mr. Harvey, with all due respect, I think we're getting off into
some areas. Sure, no problem. I understand, Mr. Chairman. I'll conclude by saying that we support the MPC staff's decisions. We feel it is within their authority. The house is salvageable, and we support MPC. Thank you. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak? No member. Mr. Boykin, I'll give you just a few minutes to for any rebuttal that you'd like to present.
Yes, so thank you. First of all, again, I got no notice that they were coming out with an order that I had another hearing. Nothing was posted, nothing was sent to me. And there's a due process issue there that they make this decision in a star chamber without letting me know and said, well, he knew and still didn't comply. That's not true. And they can't show it. Because I didn't receive anything about any new hearing. And if they had I would have been there just like I'm here now.
I'm sorry, this is Leah. I have to interrupt. The site was posted for that meeting. So somebody posted it because we don't post the sites. And we have a photograph.
You know, y'all said you posted it the first time. And I went out there, showed you didn't, and then I went and put the sign.
We don't do the postings. We don't do the postings for you. The applicant does the postings, and the site was posted.
Well, how was I supposed to know to get the signs if y'all didn't tell me about the thing coming up? I did not get any notes.
You were contacted by the administrative staff. That's how it was posted.
Let's come to order here, Mr. Boykin. You have anything else you'd like to offer?
Yes, sir. Other thing, in terms of any engineer refuting. I did let Mr. Charles walk through. He and I walked through for about 3 minutes, and he just kind of looked around in one room, and we went upstairs briefly. But you can't get through most of that place. And he's got no expertise in regard to that.
Mr. Giles was not in the building.
Certified engineer. And they are basically trying to make me sell this thing for far less than the value and holding this over my head. It's basically just a whipsaw. There's a court order that says take it down. It's structurally unsound, and it's a danger. And if that thing falls on somebody's head tomorrow, if this isn't allowed to go through, it is not on me.
Okay, Mr. Boykin, thank you. I'm going to cut off the comment there. Is there any other questions that the board has for the applicant before we enter into board discussion? All right. This time, I'm going to just close all public comment and let's start. Mr. Griffin, do you have anything you'd like to add to discussion?
I just need some clarification on what we're considering.
Okay. Do you have anything you'd like to add, Mr. Griffin? I'm sorry. What is the staff recommendation?
Staff recommendation is.
Okay. You have anything you'd like to say, Mr. Brown, to sway your. Well, how about Mr. Conan? Do you have anything?
I'm sorry.
You're ready for a motion. Okay, well, I guess I think all of
you weren't asking me for any comment, were you? I couldn't hear. Noble Boykin did.
I can't. What did you say, Melanie?
I said, y'all are cutting in and out, and I didn't know if y'all had called on me to say anything or not. I was just trying not to.
There's no more public comment at this time. Okay. It's just we're in board discussion, and the chair is about to entertain a motion from Mr. Brown, I believe.
Okay.
I'd like to move that we, is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to move that we deny the staff's approval for the appeal of this decision to the MPC. I think there's enough questions asked on timing. There's enough questions asked about even the federal court that I think that he should be allowed to at least reapply. And he might get the same result, but I think he should have the opportunity to reapply. Thank you. That's my motion.
Okay, if I'm correct, Mr. Brown has made the motion to approve. The petition is to overturn the MPC's decision, right?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Brown's motion is to approve the appeal of the MPC decision and to allow the applicant to reapply and go back through the process in light of the court order.
Correct.
Am I correct? Is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Griffith. Is there any discussion on the motion before we vote? What is Mr.? And then keep in mind, if you so wish, you can move to amend the motion.
As I understand it, the applicant automatically has the ability to reapply. Is that correct? So I think our motion needs to deal with very specifically what this decision appeal is. Correct me if I'm wrong, there is a court order in place. It's been extended. The question that we're dealing with here is, did the staff act appropriately and do what they were supposed to do during the course of the application process? Is that correct?
Mr. Condon, technically I would say whether or not the Planning Commission acted appropriately with recommendation from staff. Yes.
Sorry, thank you for that correction. Right. If I may, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we need to evaluate whether or not this is a correct motion to make, given that I think what Mr. Brown is trying to achieve is achievable automatically, and that what we're attempting to do here is to clarify whether or not the MPC acted correctly in following its rules in making its decision.
Correct.
Well, so I would be against a motion that would suggest that the MPC acted incorrectly, which is what by approving the applicant's appeal request, as I understand it, we would be saying that the MPC acted incorrectly in making its decision.
Well, in case you're going to make a motion to amend the motion, let's look at section, I think this is B under 3.23.6. It says here that to this end, the Zoning Board of Appeals shall have all the powers of the administrative official, commission, or board from whom the appeal is taken. So I believe that's stating we can decide what happens and vote on it here, and that's it. It doesn't necessarily have to go back to the other board. Is that not a correct interpretation, Marcus?
Mr. Chairman, I believe, in my opinion, it's important to look at all the appeal procedures holistically. I think it's important to understand the ZBA's role in an appeal, which I think was outlined by Mr. Condon. You are correct that in subsection B, it outlines the powers and authorities of the Zoning Board relative to making a decision. But I think it's also important to add that the purpose of the board in this case is to make a determination regarding the Planning Commission's decision, not the petition that was submitted to the Planning Commission by the applicant.
That was my point, that we're not, the applicant has a standing court order. The applicant can reapply to the Metropolitan Planning Commission without us. So that what we're really trying to decide here today is just whether or not the MPC acted correctly in the process up to this point. And I believe that they did, and that's why I want to make sure that we're perfectly clear on that, so that a motion that says that that we agree with the petitioner would say that we agree that the MPC acted incorrectly in forming its decision. We don't have any power over the decision that was made, and we don't have any power over what the MPC does in a newer request or an appeal to the court.
Okay, and that being said, do you want to amend the motion that is before us right now?
Yes, please.
All right, well, please make a motion to amend that motion.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the motion that we deny the appeal of the applicant for 312 East 38th Street.
Okay, that's not really, to me, that's not an amendment to the motion. You're wanting to make the opposite motion. So if that's the case, let's vote on the motion that's before us. And if it doesn't pass, we will entertain another motion. Is there any other discussion on the motion that's before us right now to approve the appeal? Mr. Hall, do you have anything to add?
All right. No, I do not.
Okay. Then, as I call your name, please state how you vote on the motion. Michael Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Griffith.
Yes.
Mr. Condon.
No.
Mr. Hall.
Yes.
All right. It looks like the motion passes and the appeal to the MPC decision is granted. And I believe that's it for this one.
Can I ask a question? You said the appeal is granted. So
yeah, you voted in favor of Mr. Brown's motion to approve the appeal of the MPC their decision.
They upheld the MPC decision. Is that what they were trying to do?
Yes,
the petition. I just got so you denied my petition, my appeal, asking for it to be overturned. Is that right?
No, sir. Okay. Yeah. Mr. Brown made a motion to approve the appeal to the MPC's decision. Am I speaking to you, Mr. Boykin?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I filed.
Yeah, your appeal has been approved.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay.
And
great.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, this is Melanie Wilson. I would like, could you all please make a determination for the record about why you overturned the commission decision so that we have that for our records?
Yes, and I believe that was actually something that is required to be in the final decision.
It is, but I did not hear the reason for what procedurally the MPC did wrong. With regards to coming up with the determination that was made at the time that they heard the request. So I do think that that is something that you all need to do so that we have our records complete, because this wasn't just simply overturning a recommendation or a decision that was made by the MPC. It was, what did they do wrong procedurally based on the information that we had at the time. Again, because we didn't have a complete application, there were some things that we had, so timing was a challenge at the time. But, you know, please at least state a couple of facts about why you voted the way that you voted, just so that our records are complete. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Brown, I believe that's the question that would be best answered by you.
Okay, first off, there's a lot of confusion, and I think the petitioner should be allowed to at least clear up the clarification. That's the thing that I think is the biggest issue is Exhibit A from the Supreme Court of Georgia Judicial Emergency dated February 5th allows him to legal deadlines for state of Georgia suspended up until June 12th, but you agreed this, made the decision in May. So I think that's right there. I think that is, for me, that's a major issue.
Okay, Mrs. Griffith, Mrs. Wilson, is that sufficient? Mr. Brown is stating his decision was based on the fact that, or his motion was based on the fact that the Georgia Supreme Court issued a stay on these court orders, and so that it actually had not expired when y'all's decision was at least in part based upon that it had expired.
Actually, our decision was based on two facts. One, we never had a complete application from the applicant, and then two, again, the timing was really quirky on this one because the original decision was made in January when we heard this case, and the applicant said that they would come back with information that was requested by the MPC, I think within 30 days, and he did not. But at that meeting stated that he would meet and talk with the people from HSF, which I think they finally caught up with him. And then when we finally got the information back, that's when this stuff with COVID happened. So with the timing, the decisions were made based on what we could do based on the information that we had, and the court order that was put in place was during this time when he had said to the courts that he was going to deal with demolishing the building within the time frame. So I'm not disagreeing that you made a decision, bad decision or a good decision. I'm just saying, letting you know that from a sequencing standpoint, that if you look at the chronological steps, that was one of the challenges that we had. But at the core of this is that we never got a complete application from the applicant, which is which was a main reason that the MPC denied it.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate the position. We've made a motion, we voted on it, decision's been made, and Mr. Brown has then reiterated his reasoning behind his motion. And as far as the Zoning Board of Appeals is concerned, this matter is closed.
Right. Thank you. I just needed to be able to let our board know what the reason was behind the decision. So I appreciate your indulgence.
Yes, ma'am. Marcus, do you mind
putting the
agenda back up?
All right. Thank
is there
much.
Anything under other business that anybody would like to bring up? I've got a question for staff. what's the deal with not having the mouses anymore where we can scroll through some of this stuff?
Computer mouses you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, apparently there was a decision made with the renovation of this room that laptops were not going to be a part of the renovation, but we probably have to go to get you more information regarding that from some other folks offline.
I'm certainly not the most tech savvy person, but is there some way that we can fix it so we can scroll through this at will?
I'll certainly ask that question. Yes, sir.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might add two things just very quickly. We're adding fiber to the building, so hopefully that will take care of some of the technology glitches that you've experienced today. And the reason that you don't have mouses at this point is because of COVID. They're pretty contagious. So at this point in time, we'll have to come up with some other way to figure out if there's a way for you to scroll, whether it's having a laser pen, and you might be able to do it on screen so you're not touching anything, but we're still working through that.
Okay, well, thank you very much. If there's no other business, then I'd like to call this meeting adjourned.